Dons fans were unsure whether to cheer their favourites 2-0 victory over runaway First Division leaders Manchester City or hold up signs to those watching on ITV stating "Koppel out." Feelings were running high in the wake of the Football Association arbitration panel ruling that the Football League should re-examine the director's case for moving the club up north. Mmm, happy days.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me, it's more important than that.
Anyhow, the history of our club is long and wonderful. And on Friday last week, we had the pleasure of going along to the Batsford Boys dinner. And we surreptitiously made a few recordings whilst we were there. Enjoy. Hello, dear listener. This is the same old Wombles. This particular special edition is coming to you live from the Batsford celebration dinner. We're here at live from Plough Lane. I am joined by producer Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam.
Hello. We're very early, which is great, so we've got loads of space for ourselves.
And mon frère Niall Cooper.
Hello, Matthew.
And at some point, we'll be joined by Mark Lewis. But we're here. This is exciting. Right. Now, I wouldn't suggest that any of us necessarily are Batsford boys, are we? We're more from the Bassett, or would you say, what would you say your era is, Adam?
Yeah, definitely later. Earlier. The 80s, obviously.
Adam hasn't got a clue what is going on or where he is. Or well, who was the manager when you first started supporting the team?
What, whoever, 86? So who would that be?
Bassett. Yeah. Yeah. So we're more like the Bassett boys, yeah. I guess, would be our thing. Would you say, Noel?
Oh, definitely. We supported the Dons from 1982, and we were mascots, as mentioned last week, by the mighty Mikey 2.
But here we are now. So we are in what I've always thought was the Silver Lounge, but it's rebranded. It's the 1889 Lounge. And we are surrounded by, there's 20 dinner tables. And in the middle of it, there's a sort of a football kit on a stand. There's a little lamp, and then we've got some goodies. We've got Batsford Boys Are Back program. We've got some photos. We've got some videos here. There's something about the Wimbledon Stadium track. Oh, there is. It's obvious.
There's something else. What, Matt? What, actually, I'll ask Adam. Adam, what is this?
Apparently it is a fans club official programme featuring lineups. It's got some interesting stuff in it.
Right, who wrote this play?
Oh, I wonder.
What's interesting is that...
Did anybody go to this play?
Not as many as I'd hoped. We did all right, but the thing is, I don't know. There are obviously like a whole load of a fans club programs that have been lying around. We're just going to get rid of this stuff. So there's a whole load of stuff that is like just hanging out. But we're here like an hour before people are arriving. So there's people cleaning up the tables. The bar is about to get going. We've got a whole load of people here. Look, and another early person here is the wonderful Barry James. All right, Barry, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. We're going to catch up with Barry properly in a few weeks, but are you looking forward to this evening?
Oh, very much so.
Would you describe yourself? I'm just wondering, are you a Batsford boy or were you a different sort of era?
I did see games under Alan's tenure here, back at Plough Lane. Here we are, and. Yeah, but I went away for a while and came back.
Excellent. Well, that's you've cleared that right up, Barry. Thank you so much, mate. That's awesome. I'm really excited about the time we're going to interview you properly because this is going to be.
It'll be a hell of a lot. I'm just testing one, two.
Just 50. He's come back from touring. So who are you touring with?
Oh, at the moment I'm touring with Reel to Reel. And the Honeys, but mainly Reel to Reel. And if you're wondering who are Reel to Reel, I like to move it. That's like them.
Excellent. We're gonna have to put that. We're gonna have to put that in. It's brilliant. Excellent. Now, listen. I'm just gonna quickly grab Ray here. Ray is the master behind this evening. We've spoken to Ray before on the pod, but Ray, how long has this How long have you been doing this, putting this together, this event?
It feels like for about 25 years, but in reality, I think it's about 4 or 5 months of actual work. But the idea for it really came because we thought, well, the 50th anniversary is coming up, so we have to mark it. And with that being too sort of morbid, it might be the last chance to get all these guys in the same room at the same yeah. time, because none of us are getting any younger.
No, I've been it too.
Including me. So we just thought, well, let's go for a date as close to the Leeds Games anniversary
yeah.
as we can. And this one came up. I've been quite humbled, really, because the idea of getting a dozen 75-year-old men in a room at the same time can be a bit daunting, but I think we've got about 10 of them. So I think for a team from 50 years ago, that's quite good.
That's amazing. And I think now in the background, is this the I don't know if people can hear this, but this is the Leeds game we're hearing in the background here.
This is a bit of context, really, because this is Leeds Barcelona from about a couple of months after the FA Cup games. Because if you say Leeds these days, people go, well, they're only a championship team. But back in the day, they were like Liverpool or Man City. They were league champions, European Cup finalists. And that just gives you an idea of the gulf between us and them. So it's a bit of added context, really.
Were you there for the Leeds game?
I was there for both the Leeds games, yes.
Wow,
yes.
What was that like?
Amazing. It was the first big away game I'd ever been to. And I only found out I was going like the night before, when my dad said, fancy going to Leeds? As you could in those days, you could just turn up, rock up and buy a ticket. So we're on a mainline train, 12 hours later, and there we were, 45,000 screaming Leeds fans. Everything all right? Yeah.
And that's,
when the penalty happened, 13-year-old me had a little premonition. I just thought, he's going to save this. And everyone around me is going, it's Peter Lorimer, you know, the man with the hardest shot in football. But it was a rainy day and he thought he'd place it, and Dickie almost dived over it. But let's not take away the glory of his save. He saved a penalty. You know, let's not lose sight of that. So yeah.
I know, it's absolutely fantastic.
Replay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were unlucky in the replay.
We were, yeah, because the only goal was a shot by Johnny Giles, bounced off Dave Bassett's leg, Dickie dived one way, ball went the other. That was all that separated us over two games.
And I think the unfortunate thing, which annoys me now looking at the current fixtures, is obviously if we'd have beaten Dagenham and Redbridge and then maybe beaten Millwall in the next round, we'd have got
Leeds.
Yeah.
But then we had this thought maybe 2-3 years ago when we got a draw at Sutton, got them back to Kings Meadow, and thought Leeds in the next round. And I was as guilty as anyone else, maybe thinking ahead, thinking job done, let's plan this big reunion. Of course, Sutton pulled our pants down.
Oh, that was...
So,
No, but they should have had a man sent off in that game.
They should.
That was...
But then we did, so which didn't help.
No, exactly.
Never count your chickens.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's going to be a good night, I think.
But, Ray, this is fantastic. Well done, mate. And I know it's taken up so much time, but all the work you're doing with Whooper is fantastic. And now, how many players have you got on Whooper at the moment?
We've just had a bit of a surge on the women's side. We've had a couple of quite high-profile players, and they all know people. So we're up to about 430 in total now, which is great. So it puts us round about second or third in the country of former player groups. And I'll let you have a little guess now. Who do you think is the club with the highest number of members of former players?
I've got a bad feeling. I know this.
You'll go through several guesses, believe me.
Liverpool, maybe?
No.
No.
I think it's Southend.
It is Southend.
Yeah.
But they've been going years, and the guy takes it deadly seriously.
Yeah.
I've spoken to him and spoken to his wife, and he said, "You're like one of these possessed teenagers." Who have like football stickers.
Yeah.
Every time your phone pings, I just have to say to him, is that another one? Yeah. And it's like, got need.
Oh,
so the name gets passed around all the other groups. But in seriousness, there are more and more of them now. And we are all trying to get affiliated with the PFA as a resource for like players to go to.
Oh, that's fantastic.
As much as the PFA pension side, the mental health side. Well, if you want to stay in touch with your former teammates, this is a way of doing it. Yeah. So that's what we're here for as well.
And not only that, but staying in touch with the supporters, because
yeah.
I always think that the players sometimes don't quite understand that if you've played for Wimbledon, you've automatically got that sort of like hero status.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, in Whopper, we've got people who've won the FA Cup and played for England, and people who've played one London Senior Cup game for us. But we don't treat them any different. If you pulled the shirt on, you've pulled the shirt on.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, all right, we might catch up with you later on. Thank you so much. That is brilliant. I'm really pleased. Thank you. And now, and I'm talking to the... What is your title? You're the chief executive, you like president, El Presidente of Wish, John Lynch.
Actually, the president's Dickie Guy. Mo Batsford. They're our ambassadors anyway. But I'm whatever you call me, really, politely. Managing director, right. CEO.
Everything. And I'd just like to say, I don't know if anyone's been down to the club shop recently, but... we have got these rather splendid Hawaiian shirts now, blue with yellow flowers on and the yellow badge. I've got the green one and I bought that one because they reduced them in price. They were brilliant.
Yeah, but that's because that one, the new one, is better than the green one. That one looks okay, whereas the green one, no.
The green one's a bit violent, isn't it, really?
I like the green one. I mean, I love the blue one. That's the one I'm going to be wearing this summer. But I like the fact you're wearing it on the 31st of January, John.
Yeah, well, the green one is it's kind of a bit of a throwback to the old Vomit Comet goalkeeper shirts, isn't it, really?
I remember wearing it.
We might all have to wear them in honour of Hans Seegers in a couple of weeks when he arrives.
I remember wearing the green one in a queue at the bar of the Phoenix, and people laughing at me going, there was the worst Hawaiian shirt competition, and they wanted to know where they could get hold of one. And I just thought, you know, great. I felt really good. Right. I felt really, really proud wearing it. I wasn't even there when I won.
you won by stealth.
So, John, what is going on tonight? We've spoken to Ray, and we've got some great people coming along. But we've got this exhibition. We've got a little exhibition at the front here of the stage. So we've got some
Alan's history that doesn't relate to Wimbledon. So obviously he won the FA Amateur Cup with Wharton and Hersham. Really successful career, both as a player. So he's a footballer and a cricketer. He played for the Arsenal youth team, which is there. He then signed professionally with Arsenal. So this was all kind of pre-Second World War. Afterwards, obviously, he came into management. Really successful managerial career, a variety of clubs. Eventually ending up with us in 74. And obviously, he had the good grace to recruit half his FA Cup, Amateur Cup winning team and bring them over at a time when Wimbledon was really in the doldrums. It was, you know, early 70s, flat on its face, attendances dwindling, the supporters club turned into the pub, the sportsman, because it wasn't making the money anymore. George Best tried to buy us out and consult him.
And why did we say no to George Best? I thought we'd be like, way.
Yeah. But there you go. So even back then, there was trials and tribulations, but Alan came in and waved a magic wand, really, and the rest, as they say, is history, isn't it?
And talking of history, it's not just the Batsford 50th anniversary. This is like the 50th anniversary of the famous game against Leeds. But also earlier on today, we've reopened the museum. I mean, it looks amazing.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, how did you... Because you've got a whole load of new stuff in there now, and it just looks incredible. It looks really professional.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what I'm like, Matt. I do everything in pictures in my head, and then I build a spider's web in there as well, and then I expect other people to understand it and be able to deliver it. But I think for once, it kind of, yeah... It done my thought waves justice, I thought, because of all the positive comments from everyone. It's not so easy, you know, you have this thing in your head, don't you? Your vision of what could be, the art of the possible, and occasionally you kind of get a home run.
It does look incredible. So anyone coming to Plough Lane, you've got to come and have a look at the museum. It looks great. So it goes in chronological order as you come in. You go around the whole thing. And also what I'm excited about is you've got the Wombles in there as well. Yep. You've got a headline to the Wombles. And also I'm excited because the programme for my play is in there. I'm going to see today how many times I can mention the fact that my play is there. Yeah. So it's absolutely fantastic. It is looking brilliant. And we've got some great stuff here.
Play some programmes.
I know, I know. So you've obviously got. You've obviously got.
I thought you can go around and say, you know, I'm Matthew Keeper. I, you know, this is my work. Yeah.
I think what I should do is before everyone gets in, I'll just sign them all.
You should definitely do that. Why wouldn't you? Blimmin' heck. I got a pen in my bag. Come on.
For so many reasons, John. But this is great. And also, you know, so here we've got also the Jigsaw, the greatest team Jigsaw, which is hilarious. And you've got celebrating the 78, because like 78 unbeaten run, which is brilliant. So you've got all the games there that we've been. And there was a few 8-0s, 9-0s, 7-0s, but some draws in there. I'm disappointed that we drew games.
No, I'm surprised. I don't remember drawing any. I just remember winning every single game. So that was a bit weird. But yeah, we never got a 10, which I didn't realise. I knew we got a high, but...
There was a club recently.
Yeah, no 10s.
They got into the 50s, didn't they?
Yeah, there was a club that got near that record, but I think we had to send some people down there to stop them getting that far.
We loaned the opposition a couple of ringers.
Yeah. That's right. And we've also got the historic cartoon here, which was put together. It's a really, I'm very proud of this historic cartoon. It's a lovely little thing. I want to try and get it redone at some point so we could have the Curtis moment in there. I think we need to have that. But we've also got a replica of the kit from back in the Southern League days. The Leeds United program. It's fantastic stuff. Okay, we'll see who else we can grab as we go through the evening. Okay. Simon Wombles here, and now we're at full capacity. So Mon Frere, producer Adam, and finally our football expert Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark.
Good evening. Am I back to my full title of football expert now? I can tell you Dawes is here as well, so I'm feeling slightly intimidated in that respect.
It's okay, we're not interviewing him, we're not talking to him. We're deliberately shunning him so you can get that title back.
That's very kind of you, thank you very much. Looking forward to what's going to be a fabulous evening tonight with some familiar faces.
And some unfamiliar faces, because I think we've established the fact that we're actually a decade out. We're the Bassett boys, aren't we, really?
We are too young to be Batsford boys, this is quite true. Yeah, Mr. Ivor Heller, I can see over there, and he's old enough to be a Batsford boy, just about.
Yep. And then we've got a whole range of people. So look, we've got 20 tables here. We're in the we're in the 1889 room. There's a load of people meeting. Everyone's come in. So who do we recognise over here? We've got
Craig Cope's here.
Yep. We've got John Lynch. We've got the original Batsford boys. You know who they are. Who are the names of the Batsford boys?
I can see Steve Elson. I can see Mark Jones, who's also involved in the club nowadays. I can see Tommy Walger. I can see Russell Smith. There are a few of the ones I recognise.
Yep.
Some of them have got waistlines even lower than mine, which is slightly
come on,
concerning.
Come and talk to us. We've got brilliant. And listen, Lou, can we talk to you on the Same Old Wombles podcast? Can we say hello to you?
I need a wee.
and that there is the exclusive. It's the exclusive that we've been looking for on the Same Old Wombles podcast for the whole evening.
Is it really?
We've got that.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Ah, you see, it's all lovely. And I am.
Nice to see you.
And I'm lovely to see you. I'm loving your hat, by the way.
It's a gerbil.
It's
not a hat.
It's not. What is that?
It's not a hat.
It's not a hat.
I can't possibly wear a hat this evening. Can't turn up here not wearing, wearing a hat. Like I always wear a hat. And I thought, no. And I've got sparkly trainers on.
You've got lovely sparkly trainers.
Lovely sparkly trainers on. I've just had a really nice chat with Gloria Donaldson, and who's going to be helping me again with our Women of Modern History project, which we started quite a long time ago, and it hasn't been pursued because life got in the way for quite a lot of people. And we're trying to encourage people to be involved. Not everyone wants to be videoed. I get that, and so it's quite nice. We don't have to, but we can write about it. We do notes, or we can video, record them. So that's my next project. And I spoke with Hazel Potter tonight, very briefly, because she helped me launch that.
See, Lou, you're doing amazing stuff. Would you describe yourself? Are you from the Batsford era?
No.
I know, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No.
Because we all feel like we gate crash.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah, you could totally be.
No, I am a gate crasher. I'm here tonight as a guest with Anne Pugh, actually.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford it to come here tonight, and it was nice to be asked, so here I am.
Yeah, it's lovely, but I think we're feeling like we're the Bassett gang. I don't think I'm even that really.
I mean, 1986 was my first game at Wimbledon.
Oh, come on, that was Bassett.
I don't have that affinity to it in that way that you guys do. I grew up in Yorkshire, man. Why am I going to? I didn't have.
You're right. You had no role in this, did you? I mean, apart from setting up the Don's Trust, is that right?
Yeah, but prior to that, I was on WISA. I was vice chair of WISA.
Oh, so you've had no history really with the club then?
No, none really. No.
Dear listener,
I used to sell your Yellow and Blue magazine, the programme during the years at Selhurst. I'd be the first one back into the Farley to sell it because I was in the Stevenson Lounge, so I could get there before everyone else. And then it'd be handing over the subs and the money that we're taking to your brother or to yourself.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, we're just going to get going.
Little man's talking.
Yeah. Well, there you are. Some exclusives there, mainly that Lou needs the wee. All right, we'll speak to you later. Here we all are. We're just about to have our main course. Ivor has just introduced the Batsford boys from 50 years ago, and it's quite interesting seeing them all. A lot of them, I mean, I think we confess that we're really Bassett boys, so a lot of them we didn't necessarily recognise. But then in has come Dave Harry Bassett and El Presidente Dickie Guy, both got standing ovations as they were coming in. It's just, and literally both Dickie and Harry are like to the right of us as we look. It's amazing to see and come in and how much, in actual fact, all the players who were introduced from that era, just like, you know, rapturous applause. It was fantastic. Well, was there someone you wanted? What did you think of it all when people were coming in?
Well, the curious thing is I started watching Wimbledon when I was 7 years old, so that's December 77, which is the tail end of when most of these guys that are here were involved. I guess Dickie Guy was one of the last ones to be involved there, and obviously Ian Cook never played in the league, so he'd finished the year before. But having met a couple of them in later years, especially Dickie Guy and Ian Cook, they're just wonderful human beings. Forget them being footballers and being wonderful role models for the club. But it's great to see them here, and the reverence that they are held in by a lot of people around here. You know, the fact that these guys, with the exception of Harry Bassett, haven't ever gone on post-playing career to be anything in footballing career as managers or coaches. But that doesn't matter, because they were once part of this wonderful group that is the team that played under Alan Batsford, and they deserve to be always revered by women and fans of whatever age.
That's true. And actually, about someone was saying to me earlier on that, you know, when you become a Wimbledon fan, you buy into that history. It goes all the way back to 1889. So, you know, you buy into the fact that, you know, Doc Dowden and, you know, you've written all the books, who's, you know, all that history stat. Some of the stuff that we saw in the museum, there was some caps and stuff like that down there.
I mean, all of that history, all of that record, it all builds up to it. What makes the fact that one of the first things we did in 2002 was get the history back and remember that, because that's the history and traditions that underpins the whole of our club. You know, all the way back to the 1889, all that back through the team that we're marking tonight that took us the first time out of non-league. These are the guys that did it, and it's great to know that they're here and they've witnessed the second time that we did it, and to see all those heroes. I mean, it's like I certainly can look to my left and see players that, you know, we have like aware of and what they were like, and the fact that they've been the managers and stuff like that, like particularly Harry Bassett, and just means so much to, I think, everybody here about all the kind of journeys and the kind of great antics. I mean, there are so many other players for the history. You're right, Doc Dowden, arguably, probably one of our greatest ever players, not really mentioned, or like, you know, Eddie Reynolds and the rest of
it. I think the thing about it is, where is Doc Dowden now? Why is he not here?
Doc Dowden's in our hearts, man.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'm just, you know, it's just curious. But what's quite, you know, we are, no, he was a legend. Well, I mean, it's quite interesting looking. I've never seen whatever is on Harry Bassett's head before. He's got he seems to be wearing a flat cap sort of thing.
It's a very cool flat cap, I think. I think, you know, he's styling it well.
I'm not saying it's not. I mean, just saying it's a new look for him. But obviously, you know, everyone was it was rapturous applause when he's come in. And we are going to see if we can get steadily more drunk through the evening to build up the courage to go and chat to Harry and put this in front of his face. So let's see what happens later on. In the meantime, we're just about to get main course. What we might do is we might, when the food arrives, we'll just give you a little description of what we're having, and Adam can describe what on earth is in front of him.
Okay, fair enough.
So now the food's arrived, so we've all got this sort of steak pie, some mash, Scotch egg, potatoes and peas. It's all looking good. Mark, you enjoying it?
Good food, good scram. I was at the point where I could have eaten the side of a horse, but this is good food.
Yeah, it's like weddings. You've got to wait a lot of time for the food. Niall, you enjoying yours?
I'm liking mine. I think Adam's really liking
yeah, his. Yeah, Adam, how's your vegan meal going down?
Yeah, so far it's pretty entertaining, you know, having zero. I'm waiting for my plate, whatever.
Well, we're thinking that the mashed potato that's in the middle of the table is actually your vegan option.
Maybe I just should eat mash. I like mash, so that's cool.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of it, and I think it's got your name on it, because I can't see where on earth your vegan option is, so...
It's buttery mash, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be buttery mash.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore the buttery mash because I'm starving now, so I'm hoping that something will come and then I might have to have some buttery mash.
So the next sound you're going to hear is Adam munching away on the tablecloth.
I'm a vegetarian.
Vegetarian,
yeah.
Okay, thank you. And it's just arrived, mate. What have you got? What on earth have you got there?
I've got something that's vegetarian, so I'm going to have to remove the egg that's in the middle of this meal. I have no idea. I'm hoping it isn't actually meat, but we shall find out soon.
So, we are now kind of like, well, we're towards the end. We've had dinner, we've had some, there's been some desserts, whatever. But whilst we were having a bit of a break there, we watched some old highlights of Wimbledon versus Middlesbrough in the FA Cup back in 1977, and it was fantastic. And that's right. In the first game back at the old Plough Lane, I have to say our pitch maybe was a little bit cut up in places, but it was incredible. It looked like we should have won that game.
It looked like a pretty exciting game. The pitch was mud. I don't really understand how we're allowed to play in those kind of conditions, but obviously that was allowed back in then. But yeah, it looked like a good game that we should have won.
Yeah, there was a perfectly good goal that was disallowed.
I mean, looking at the highlights of that game, Wimbledon should have definitely won that game. What I loved most about all of this was the comments from the players afterwards. So far removed from anything you hear these days. They showed two games, and after both of them, it's like, yeah, maybe you dived a bit to one of our own players, and that sort of complete honesty. And then the huge spat between Roger Connell and Jack Charlton, who's the manager of Middlesbrough, basically fundamentally disagreeing with each other. It is just lovely to see that honesty you never get now. But looking back on it, we should have won that game.
Yeah, and I think what was the greatest bit for me was where Jack Charlton says, the pitch is a mess, the Wimbledon pitch is a mess, it's horrendous. When they come back up to our place, we'll flatten the pitch and it'll be all right. Like, cuts to the replay, and it's an ice rink. Basically playing on an ice rink with some of the lines cut through. But it's basically snow all over the pitch, and it's incredible. So after Jackie Chart was slagging off our pitch, their pitch was no much better either. But we should have won that. Mark, what went wrong there?
What went wrong was we had a couple of chances very close to goal. Apparently we had a shot disallowed for offside when there's about three defenders standing on the goal line, so I don't quite know what the rules were like in 1977. Obviously a different offside interpretation than there is nowadays.
That clearly needed VAR. That was what was missing.
But this is the important thing. So here we are. God knows how many of us are. There's quite a few people here. It's great. And we're still really angry about the decision made in 1977. So we're still pissed off.
And we wanted that game was like 11 months before the first Wimbledon game I ever saw. But I'm still annoyed watching the, even though I knew the result, watching the highlights, thinking we should have won that game.
Yep, it's quite, it is hilarious. We are still pissed off about it. Anyway, we'll see if we can grab someone else in a bit. Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Same Old Wombles podcast. That was fun, wasn't it? Friday night was fun.
Yes, it was. We would have got even more exclusive stuff in if producer Adam hadn't had to catch the last train home.
We'd have got more. There were two incidences, but you know, I can't slate Adam off because you know he's our man. But if his bladder could have just held out a couple more minutes, we could have got an exclusive with Ian Cook. It was a great time. We had some wonderful stories.
I don't remember agreeing to be slagged off on this week's podcast for like having to use the bathroom and having to get home further than anyone else.
You're not being slagged off, Adam.
We're not
being slagged off. It's just a point of observation that Ian Cook was standing there talking to me, Matt and Mark, and your recording equipment was on the table. None of us knew how to use it because you're the producer guru. And we missed the opportunity to get an exclusive interview with Ian Cook. And he said, yeah, I'll talk to you guys. No problem. And we were going, yeah, kind of wanted you to be recorded. Oh. But it doesn't matter because your bladder was fine and now you're feeling better. So that's all right.
And we're loving you. And we're loving you. I should do the intros anyhow. We're loving that I've got this week. We have got producer Adam with us. You're near the toilets, I'm guessing, just in case. And we've
it's important
got
for men of a certain age.
We've got a totally
wait, Matthew. So the interesting thing about that visit to the bathroom was I bumped into another Wimbledon fan who told me that every single Don's Trust board election he has voted for me and really appreciated my principles. So I had a great time using the bathroom.
That's a bit too much.
Even more information we don't need to know. Anyhow, so we've got producer Adam, we've got mon frere Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall.
Hi, Matty.
Bonjour. And that's what we can say, bonjour. And we've got not only our football expert, but our linguistic expert as well, Mark Lewis.
Guten Abend. Hello, alle Zeit.
There you go. We've told him he needs to get that looked at, but there's no listening. There's no talking to him. It was good. I thought there were some really cool stories. I mean, it's fascinating. And I think the one thing that you all realise is once you start supporting this team, you buy in to all of that history. So you buy into everything, you know, from the Batsford boys going backwards, like Doc Dowden, Niall knows other names of things that I'll get wrong. But you buy into that history, and you buy into also that what was great on the evening is they showed highlights of the game against Middlesbrough, the FA Cup game against Middlesbrough, which was brilliant. It was played basically, as far as I can tell, in a ploughed field. It was just, the pitch was just a complete mess. It was absolutely awful. Jackie Charlton kept on banging on. He was interviewed afterwards, banging on about how bad the pitch was. But I look at it and I thought, we should have won that game. That was our game. We played much better. We created better chances. And I'm talking about a game in what? When were we talking? 76, 77 against
Middlesbrough? January 1977, that was.
January 1977. An amazing game. And I'm now angry that we didn't win that game. And watching the recording of it, I was furious. And what was quite funny, I felt, was there was Jack Charlton interviewed after the match, talking about how shit the pitch was and everything. And then they showed some highlights from the replay because we drew 0-0 and we went up to Middlesbrough. We lost 1-0. And it was an ice rink. It was covered in snow. They'd done that bit where they just cut out the lines. Like, no one would have played on that pitch today. I thought, don't be slagging off our pitch, mate, if you can't get the snow off the pitch. Anyhow, I'm still annoyed, as you can tell.
So listeners will realise that this story has been told twice because Matthew was that annoyed about it that he told it on the evening and again.
I'm reflecting on that evening, and it's the one thing that stays with me. But there were some great stories. I thought the one about Dave Bassett, that they were playing, I can't remember who they were playing. I want to say Chelmsford, I think. And the ref kicked off the match, and 10 seconds later, there's a whistle. Ian Cook's looked around and gone, what are they blowing for? And there's one of their players just lying prostrate on the floor. And apparently, as soon as the game kicked off, Bassett had just basically flattened this bloke. It was the quickest sending off ever.
But, you know, there was some... It was really the start of the sort of like the crazy gang era. That particular time, it seemed to be. Anyway, it was great. There were some great stories there. I don't know if the club are doing a video from it, but it was really good fun.
I did have a little chat with John Lynch afterwards, and John said that in the next four seasons, they are planning similar type of events for all of that with loads of ex-players. So there will be other things, because we talked a lot about on the way back about next year, 85, 86 will be 40 years on from when we got promoted to the first division. And having that team will be certainly for us, for who are all of that same sort of generation, watching those, bringing all those players back together would be amazing. So, you know, that's sort of things. So I think there is definitely these things happening in the future. And, you know, on the basis of how well organised and how brilliant it was to see all those players, you know, I'd say to everybody that's, you know, a Wimbledon fan, you know, go along, because it's, you know, we weren't around in, you know, we weren't following the Dons in 77 or 75. But, you know, it's part of our history now because we bought into it. So, you know, anyone listening, you know, definitely if they do things like that in the future, it's so worth it. It was such a great evening.
And, yeah, and actually next year will also be 10 years from the Plymouth playoff final, which I did mention actually to James Woodruff. I saw him wandering around and just said, book that one in now and you know, get the players available now. And then you've got obviously likes of Barry Frillo and Paul Robinson and Darius Charles and so on and so forth. And that might be a bit more complicated because some of those players obviously are still playing. So,
wow, 10 years is crazy. I would love that, though, Niall, the 40th anniversary of the 85, 86, but 10 years as well of the playoff. I can't believe it's been 10 years. It's completely crazy.
They should play a little five-a-side. We wonder who'd win.
Oh, now that would, I'd pay for seeing that. That would be brilliant. I have a feeling that's
what you have.
Luke Galliers against Danny Bowman, and that would be worth the entrance fee alone, as they say.
Anyhow.
Yeah. I was going to say, just before we wrap on that bit, the other thing I was thinking, it was really busy. It was quite exciting. I think it was a little bit cost prohibitive potentially for some people because it was quite expensive for the event. But I think if we could work out some, we were in the 1889 lounge, which is downstairs. The upstairs bit wasn't open. But again, if they could come up with some way to attract more people there who maybe go for it just to have one meal or, you know, it was a sit down thing. But it was fantastic. And, you know, as much as it was expensive, I felt we got so much value out of what we spent, which is fantastic. But I think if we're going to keep doing those events, let's work out maybe the way that we can maybe have more people attending who don't want to do the sit-down meal but just want to, you know, get involved and that kind of stuff, because I think there was some opportunities there. So I think that's worth pointing out, because I think, I mean, especially as someone who's a vegan, I paid quite a lot for what was effectively vegetables. But it was really nice. It was really nice. And actually, I thought the service was great. I thought, you know, it was a really, really good evening. So I'm not...
Isn't that what you eat all the time anyway? I mean, like, I'm just paying loads of money for vegetables. But isn't that just your diet?
I mean, but it's normally cheaper. That's what I'm saying.
I have a feeling mushrooms. That this summer, the Eleanor, whatever it is, contract runs out.
Eleanor,
their contract runs out this summer. So hopefully we'll be getting some better people in to run the hospitality. That could be interesting.
Angus Steakhouse, are they coming in?
I tell you what I also read today.
Greg's.
Apparently the brewery.
Yeah, by the Horns.
By the Horns has unfortunately, as a business, gone belly up.
Yep.
Which so means that someone's going to have to come in.
To run the pubs.
We're going to get Carlsberg or something, aren't we? Yeah,
I really hope not.
I think that's the thing. So that is worrying. So By the Horns has gone into liquidation, and they're going to need to take someone over to run the Phoenix from the end of this season. So they're going to the end of this season, but then hopefully someone will take it on, because
they'll still be able to run the business till the end of the season.
Says. Yeah, there's sort of like I think there's probably a separation between those two businesses, I'd have thought, or something like that. Anyhow, that's the news.
That's the most depressing piece of news I've heard this week. I love some of their beers. Damn
never it. Mind the football. Never mind the fact that we're pushing for a promotion. Adam can't get the right beer.
I know. I mean, he's already got the robots that are going to upset him. So, you know, this is going to really tip him over the edge. Anyhow, I wanted to reflect a little bit on last week's show. Great, we had Mikey T on. That was fantastic. But another exclusive during our Batsford boys dinner was that I ran into Anne Pugh. Hello, Anne, who says she's going to try and find that Do I Not Know That trophy? Because I think that we definitely need that on display in the museum. The museum also opened. We also had a look around that. That is looking absolutely amazing, chaps. I love that. The museum's great. So you go in chronological order, and then there's some other bits and bobs as well. A bit about our relationship with the Wombles, some stuff about Wish and what they've done. It's a brilliant. So if you get a chance, I believe now...
There's this brilliant program in there, isn't there? That's about this thing called, what was it? A fans club. I think I saw that in there. A fans club, some sort of play that somebody once produced about that.
I genuinely think you want to mention that so I can say that there's also your book in there as well. I think that's probably where that has come from.
Can you stop battering each other's past notes, please? Honestly.
Dear me. Anyhow, thank you, Anne. By the way. Thank you, Anne, for having a look.
Music's still available on Spotify.
I'm going to scribble a fact about Wimbledon on this index card and slide it into one of those cabinets and say, there's my things in there as well.
Actually, all joking aside, for any Wimbledon fan over the age of about 30, it's a wonderful nostalgia fest to just walk around that museum. It's amazing. And you know, the obviously everything that happened with the flood was awful at the time, and a hell of a lot of hard work went in to clear everything up and get reorganised and so on. If anything positive has come out of it, the way in which the museum has now been laid out looks so much more professional, with the greatest respect to how it looked before.
Yeah, and everything, all of our... I just want to say, for both the Batsford and for the meal itself, brilliant work by Wish, brilliant work by Whopper, and, you know, I have to give a special shout-out to John Lynch and to Ray Armfield. They've done so much work, and I think when we met Ray, he was really frazzled, but he did. It was brilliant, Ray. Absolutely fantastic. So they do great work. Wish and Whopper do fantastic work. And now let's get back to the future, or to now, the present at least. And our game against Bradford on Saturday, which was, I thought, what a brilliant display, a brilliant defensive display. I thought we had the better of the chances. We were just so excited, and a great goal. And I think that whole idea that Nerfell is now so targeted by the opposition that they were sending three men over to him, which allowed him the time to knock it back to Oggs, knock it square to Reeves, and across into Tilly. He was unmarked at the back post just because they whole squad over to that sort of side. But it was a fantastic game.
And I genuinely called that literally at the time.
Yeah.
When Nerfell first went on their run, and it was obvious they were double and triple marking him, and I just said straightforwardly, therefore there's going to be a man free. And if you watch the Don's Uncovered thing again, it shows exactly how well the move was constructed. You know, Omar being manhandled, but he managed to actually still hold the ball up and move it across, and we kept our hold of possession for an extended period, which resulted in the goal. So, fantastic.
You know, Mark totally called that. It was so mad because I was sitting next to Mark, and Mark went, well, they're all going here. There's definitely going to create a bunch of space. And literally, that like must have been the next move or whatever, where the space had been created because they were overmarking Nerfell, was how we got the cross in. And it was just like, I was cracking up because I was like, yep, definitely got the football genius on the squad.
What I said is watching football's finally give me some insight into how actually play should happen.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was, I thought all over the park we did really well. And obviously we were clearing the ball off the line. Johnson had one off the line in the start of the second half. But our defence has been wonderful. And also now you look across, how do you get all these people into the squad? Because, you know, you'd argue that Hutchinson is one of our better players. How does he get back into that team? Where does he fit into that team now? Can you drop Oggs? Can you drop Oggs for Hutchinson? You know,
you can only put seven on the bench, you know, which is ridiculous to say there. But Hutchinson was man of the match at franchise. Since then, he's obviously been carrying a knock. But we can afford, in inverted commas, to not have to play him. O'Toole's obviously come back into the reckoning. Don't know whether you want both of them involved there, because you know, two on the field at the same time would probably leave you a little bit leggy in the back three.
And also probably, I was going to say, and also probably one of them getting sent off.
Quite possibly.
It's also interesting you should say that, though, Mark, because there was one, obviously the transfer window is closed, which is fantastic news.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant.
But there was a bit of a conversation about one of the players we were looking for, I think, from Palace. And one of the reasons they didn't sign was because we wouldn't approve a certain amount of game minutes for the transfer. And so, yeah, I think you can see that we can't do that because we've got a lot of choice. So you can't say we're going to give you X number of minutes because actually we're going to play the best squad possible. Well, you know, it's a ridiculous request anyway, in my mind.
So on that, Adam, I had a great insight to this when I've been speaking to CEOs, I'm sure I've mentioned on the pod before, is that quite often with a loan deal is that the price goes down if you can guarantee more minutes. So if they play less, you have to pay more. So that would undoubtedly been part of that equation. It would have been, right, yeah, you can have him, but if you're not going to play him this much, this is how much you have to pay. And it'd be more than what we'd want to. So that's the kind of ludicrous situation that you're getting with some loan deals. You know, certainly, I imagine that, you know, that would have been a huge part of that conversation.
And of course, we've got our new man in, Foyer, Osman Foyer, and he wasn't on the bench on Saturday. I'm assuming that he might, you know, because obviously just joined like a couple of days ago. So it'll be interesting to know that he's probably training with the squad this week. Will he be part of the squad going up to Accrington Stanley? Will he get any minutes on? And if he does, who are we dropping? I mean, what's happened to Pickett is a big thing. And I know he was referenced by JJ recently, saying that, you know, we've got all this talent, but, you know, Pickett can't even get on the pitch.
It sounds like Foyer maybe a slightly different option. You know, maybe an option that you can bring in coming wide left. Arguably, what's going to happen to Sasu? I mean, I've heard it discussed in other podcast forums. But actually, you know, Jackson's given Sasu a few opportunities recently. He hasn't really pulled up any trees.
Yeah.
He was pulled over and we should have had a penalty Saturday. Should have had two penalties, actually, because Kelly was also fouled and didn't get anything there. But arguably, I can't see how Foyo and Sasu and Pigott and Brown, I don't see how you find space for them in the same squad, let alone in the same team at the same time.
And Brown looks exceptional, doesn't he? I mean, he really does. His skill, his confidence is amazing. So I'm wondering it's how long it's before he gets a start. And if he gets a start, then, you know, is it at the expense of Bugle? Or can Bugle play together?
He started at Crewe. And actually, I got a small exclusive. I've just been commissioning an article by a Crewe fan for the programme for next week's game. And in the article, he openly admits that they, as Crewe fans, thought they were very lucky to get a draw in the home game. And actually, in that home game, he bossed the game for the 70-odd minutes he was on the pitch and hit the underside of the bar. So yeah. I suspect, quite possibly, he might not start at Aki, but he'll then get the opportunity to start again against Crewe midweek next week.
Yeah.
Hey, I think he looks like a super sub, actually, in these, because, like, you bring someone on like that, they change games. So I'm well up for a super sub. These people don't need to start if they come on as super subs.
Yeah, I mean, but I think he can play a league or two above us, and he's young. I mean, he's not like Hutchinson. He's 27, I think. So he's, anyhow, it's a great quantity to have. It's not a position we have been in at the end of January. Usually our conversations going into January are, oh my God, who are we going to lose? But now we've come out of this, I would argue, as strong, if not stronger, than we went into January.
No, surely stronger, because we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
we haven't lost anyone. Hopefully his blip is over soon.
Yeah.
We've still got our main striker and we've got additional striking resources and we've got the creative midfield flair that we thought we had with Sawyers, and then as soon as we lost Sawyers, I was concerned that we wouldn't have that difference.
And to add to that, Mark, we've also got all the people that have been out injured for a long time, or either back or coming back. I mean, we're close to having the strongest squad we've had for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. It's It's looking good. I mean, you know, it's difficult. We've still got a whole truckload of really difficult fixtures coming up. Well, Accrington away is going to be really tricky this Saturday. And then we've got Crewe at home. And even though we play really well against them, you know, they're up there. And then Salford, I think, is going to on that Saturday. So there's a lot of tricky fixtures coming up. But we have got all these options now. He can look at the bench and say, I can make changes that can do something different, which I think is really, really exciting.
But we have to also reflect that the last three fixtures we've had were franchise away, which comes with all the different emotional issues.
Yep.
Crewe away, who was second when we played them.
Yep.
And Bradford at home, who were above us when yep. we played them. And we deservedly beat them. And you know, it's probably far too early to do it on the 4th of February, but that could be a season-defining win.
No, I was going to say, we had like a pretty hardcore week and a half of games already. And I was worried about those games. So the fact that we've done really well there, I mean, the confidence of all the players should be up. The ability then to go into games. Okay, League Two, we've always said this, that games can go either way. But actually, I think that level of confidence, you can be like, we should go into this game thinking we are able to win the game. And we've got options. Jackson's doing some great choice. So, yeah, it's early doors, obviously, right? What am I getting that excited about? But it'll be great, you know. I mean, I'm just up for... I don't know what I said at the beginning of the season. I'm just up for the playoffs now. I don't... Whatever else happens is cool. And we still got a game in hand. I mean, that's the other thing.
Two.
I know it's technically games. Yeah.
No, I mean, it is two. We've got two in hand on Doncaster, who are 4 points above us, who are second. We've got one in hand on whoever's third, Notts County, I think it is. Yeah.
It's... I mean, it is exciting.
It's exciting.
But we can't, obviously we're not going to get ahead of ourselves because we're Wimbledon fans and we've done that.
If we're going to do that, we can then also say Walsall are on the decline. And what have they got? They've had 1 point in the last nine or something like that. They've lost. So, you know, we're actually catching them as well. So, you know, I could see Walsall falling into the mix.
And yeah, there was a lot of, there was a lot of lastminute.com transfer activity in League Two. Walsall did lots. Gillingham did a few bits. Newport County again. But actually, I'm looking at someone like Gillingham, who, when we played them, whenever it was just around Christmas, were arguably thinking if we beat Wimbledon, then we're pushing back for the playoffs. They've slid away big time. And the type of transfers and loan signings they've made were very much like the type of things that we used to make in transfer windows. So once again, major shout out to the recruitment process to be able to get the kind of players we've got in. I don't know the background of the finance on Frojo at all, but you know, he's a permanent transfer, so we are planning ahead for the future, getting in rough diamonds from non-league in the way that people like Peterborough used to do. And let's face it, I read somewhere that Peterborough made 13 million out of Ivan Tony in terms of the sell-on stuff.
That's what we're looking for, isn't it? Because I think over the last couple of seasons we have had players that we could sell on and get something back from. And we haven't got that now. We've got a really, really good squad, an excellent squad, but not necessarily stars.
So what's the deal? I totally agree. And I think that's why we've been really solid in this transfer window, not losing anyone, because we've got a team and not stars we've talked about. What's the deal with what's happening with the sell-on stuff that we've had so far? Because other players have moved around that we've already sold. So we're on loan and whatever. Are we going to make a bunch more money for the end of the season based on that?
The basic deal, as far as I recall on sell-ons, is you get it based on where they go to next. So, for example, we sold Rodoni to Huddersfield. Huddersfield sold him to Coventry for, I think, up to 5 million. And so we made money out of that sell-on thing. I don't know what the nature of the payments are, but the payments normally on that type of deal, if someone signs a 3-year deal, are made over the 3 years. With Ali, for example, the payments were based on his performances in the Championship and his performances in the Premiership. And they were also based on what would happen if you went out on loan. And obviously, he hasn't had a great time at Ipswich, but he went out on loan and he scored in his debut for Stoke, which is great. So long may that continue. Hopefully, that will be a successful campaign, and I think maybe he has to play a certain number of games at Stoke. And then we're quids in, but it would look like we'll definitely like to do that.
Yeah, so we are getting. So it does make a big difference to our finances. It genuinely does, having these people sold on. And you know, I think there's a lot of stuff with our goalkeepers as well, who've gone through our academy and gone on. I think we have got some stuff from our goalkeepers as well. Many of whom we've never seen.
Yeah, I mean, even Spike Britz, for example, who went for six figures. There are clauses there in terms of appearances, and there's probably clauses there in terms of England appearances as well.
We should put in a clause like a one-handed save gets like triple money, like just like put in all these extra clauses.
I like this. That's it. We should put you in charge of clauses, Adam.
I can come up with some cool ones.
Come up with some clauses. If it's a one-handed save, the team get an extra £1,000. Yeah. Dear me.
Wow.
Anyhow, chaps. So the other big news, which has come out, and it's kind of been a bit hidden. It went out on the Don's Trust. It's on the Don's Trust news, and it's been circulating a bit on socials, but not that much. Is that? Well, here's what it says: the Don's Trust is disappointed to announce that Ivor Heller is unfortunately unable to take up his position on the Don's Trust board. Ivor was looking forward to using his knowledge and experience to help the club continue its development and progress in his role. However, he will continue to contribute as a valued Don's Trust member and club life vice president. So I don't think it's a good idea for us to speculate. And I'm looking at one of our panelists here particularly. But it seems like... You know, it's interesting. It's an interesting news. So obviously, the club, the DTB, are going to have to start the appointment process again. Adam, is there a chance that you could be sneaking on DTB?
No, I mean, no, there isn't a chance because other people beat me in the voting. Obviously, I don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, I looked at it, and we've had people obviously leave the DTB early for various different reasons, and that's fine. Obviously, the next person on the list who got the most votes was James McDonald, actually one of the people I voted for. So I don't know whether they will look to instantly replace. The other thing I heard or read was that constitutionally they've got enough people, so they don't have to actually add anyone to stay there. But obviously, if anyone else stepped away, then they would have to trigger a vote or whatever, or get someone in as on a casual vacancy. So, yeah, I mean, I saw the news and I was a little bit nervous because I was like, oh, sugar, they're not going to phone me up now, are they? I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that I'm not in the process. And then so I started then thinking out, what am I going to do, blah, blah, blah. But then I quickly checked and went, there's no way you had enough votes anyway, Adam. What are you talking about? So, you know,
wait a minute. Niall's talking.
What I remember about
beep, the process, obviously... Beep, 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 beep.
Right, I'm not going to talk about what happened with Ivor because I've been told not to.
Beep.
But
he's not going to speculate about what happened with Ivor because he knows nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Anybody wants to ask me at the next game they see me, I'll be perhaps or like, you know, whatever. It's fine. Anyway, with that situation, Adam, obviously what had happened previously is that the DTB didn't have enough people constitutionally on its board, which is why they increased the amount of people that could stand on the board for this exact reason. So that's the situation is. They can still appoint people onto the board if they believe that they will add extra skill sets to the board, which is while a number of people, I think even Graham Price, began his career on the board as being a person who's appointed onto it. Directly by the rest of the board. So that's still a possibility. And I think the rest of the, if the Don's Trust board are listening, they should definitely look at appointing Adam or Matt. That'd be a random one. Let's appoint Matt or Adam, because me and Mark have been on the board. And therefore, one of you two should definitely be appointed onto the board for just the hell of it.
I've
spoken to you both and Adam's the only masochist amongst us who still wants to do it. I've got no intention. Thank you very much. I'm quite happy.
The only thing I'd say on this, because I don't know any information, so it's not appropriate to say anything else. But the one thing I would say is, you know, Ivor put himself forward for election, and he was the most popular candidate in terms of the number of votes that were cast. So that is a real shame that anyone in that situation isn't able to take their place on the board.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And to be honest, and he was obviously hosted the Batsford evening, and he did a brilliant job, you know. And he's a huge advocate for our club, you know. He's a he does a lot of work for our club.
I understand he's doing the man of the match thing afterwards as well.
So I mean, and all of that, I think he's great. And it's a shame. And I guess the question I saw again on socials today. And I'm quite surprised, Mark, going back to something earlier on, you said that you'd seen something on other podcasts. I'm quite upset that you've been looking at other people's podcasts, but it's okay. We won't take that personally. But I think that there was something out on socials that was saying people need to know, if you voted for Ivor, shouldn't the electorate know what happened? But
if Ivor wants to say, then Ivor can say, but I wouldn't bet on him actually coming out.
No, that's not. I mean, that's ridiculous for people to say. Look, I think I agree with Mark. Ivor got the most votes of all of the people on that, which is, you know, it's a massive shame for those people that voted for whatever reason. So I totally agree with Mark. I think James got the least amount of, you know, was the next in the list, was previously on the board, so there's a bunch of experience that can come through, so I think that is also important. But it'll be up to the Donsworth board to make a decision. I think in terms of should people know why someone has stepped away from the Don's Trust board, that individual would have to say, if they wanted to say, what that reasoning was. And that could be for numerous things. And I think it could be really personal, it could be really intrusive, and that's not fair.
I've just gone through some really tough times. So I think we have to give everyone here the benefit of the doubt on this. And he does a great job as an advocate and an ambassador for our club. He really does. So, you know, I just wish him all. I think we wish him all the best.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing. Like, clearly passionate, clearly got the votes, clearly wanted to do the role. For whatever reason, has been unable to fulfil that role. It is not down to the Donsworth board to reveal why that has happened. It could be deeply personal. It'll be up to Ivor to decide. And I will again echo what Matthew said, that for the Batsford Boy stuff, Ivor was fantastic as a host. He's always been good on the man of the match stuff. He does all those things really well. He's a character and, you know, gets people excited and passionate. And I think you've got to have people like that for lots of reasons. And I'm hoping that he can continue to do what he said, which is a lot, whatever the presidency thing or whatever the other stuff that he will continue to do, that's fine.
One thing I've always said about this club and how we should raise extra money is always about how we sell our story. And I don't think we do that enough. If we had a proper programme of actually selling our story, Ivor is the perfect person to put in a room. If you can coordinate that room with loads of like the kind of right funders or tell that story, he's brilliant at it. And that's where I think Ivor has got the potential to really add that. And I think the DTB in the club would be misplaced if they didn't use his ambassadorial skills and his ability to tell a story and the story of Wimbledon, which is unique to those audiences. I think it's up to the club to create those audiences and make sure we use Ivor and throw him in the room and see what he can do. Because I think he would be a real asset if we were able to do that. So I hope that, you know, Ivor and the people who really like Ivor don't, you know, see this as an opportunity, you know, a bad moment. This is a chance where to kind of
reset,
move away and look at doing something else that's really beneficial for the club, because he's certainly got that skill set to do that as an ambassador.
Brilliant. Excellent. Okay, great stuff. Just a couple more little things to come up with. I just saw on the club website today, they were saying, we've got a big game coming up against Crewe, Mark. You talked about that. It's going to be next Tuesday, 7:45. And I guess the big thing is, you know, the club always lose out money when it's games have been moved from a Saturday to a Tuesday. So we want to get as many people down there. So the club are doing this promotion now. So any season ticket holder can purchase up to 2 additional tickets for £10 each. So bring people along, guys. This is going to be an opportunity because these are 2 teams that are currently in the playoffs and they're battling away there. They could be getting up into the automatic places. So bring some friends along for it. And also, I noticed...
But where will those people sit? Like, if I...
What am I?
They can be allocated anywhere but spare seats around. So you can just allocate them. So they might not necessarily be sitting together, but it's 2 tickets for a tenner each, anywhere in the stadium. And I think it'd be brilliant that, see, it's a Tuesday night, it's crew, but it's a crucial game that we try and pack it out.
Great. Yeah, I just wanted to know.
Very, very annoyingly decide to schedule the game on my daughter's 16th birthday, which kind of makes it bloody hard for me to be anywhere other than at home with my daughter.
I was going to say,
if we donate all of our 2 tickets,
that could basically be all of the party going.
So, and Adam and Mark, you were there at Bradford. You're both going to be there at Crewe, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and Salford. I know it's an early kickoff, 12:30 kickoff. So
we're going to be there.
Yeah, I know. But you'll be there for that. So that's Bradford, Crewe and Salford. Let's go. And I, so you're going to be there for... You weren't there on Bradford. You can't do the Crewe game. Are you going to be there for the Salford game? No, surely. Out of that, the 3, you're... Oh, wow. You can't even make that.
Your listeners can't see that Mr. Cooper is using 2 fingers to pass the magic on in some way.
I might have to be... I'm on holiday skiing, okay? That's where I am for Salford, right? So...
Oh, it's a tough life at the top, mate.
Isn't it? Isn't it just? And the other bit of news is the January sale still keeps going. And I'm annoyed because I'm seeing things out there that I bought before the sale that are now like, 60% off. But I realise now, I wonder if we're at a certain age now where just anything in the shop, I just want to buy it. So I think there's a level wallet there.
Do you have got a shelf name on it for Wimbledon merchandise in your cupboard?
I've got space here. Don't you fret about that. I can do it.
I wouldn't worry about paying extra for things. Just buy them anyway if you like them. I got instantly suckered into a little Womble pin by the match day program sellers.
Yeah. Right. Okay, guys. Listen, we're gonna wrap it up now. Niall's obviously got to go somewhere else some exclusive dinner.
Not very often. He's got some media things.
But next week we will catch up on the governance.
Bye now.
Okay. All right, chaps. I'm going to round it up. We had a wonderful time at the Batsford dinner. The Bradford game was fantastic. Onwards and upwards. We are the same old Wombles. We're back.